Hey everybody, this is your host, LaVie. Welcome to Thrift Therapy, the podcast all about thrift life. Recycling, collecting, DIYing, all the ups and downs, ins and outs of thrifting. So glad you joined me for this thrift adventure. Hello, welcome back, thrifters. I'm happy to be here. I hope you are too. It was a rough year last year for the podcast, for myself, and for many of my fellow thrifters around the world. According to Instagram, the one platform I did stay really engaged on throughout the pandemic, this seemed to affect everyone, but of course in different ways. And so I just didn't have the heart to make a podcast about thrifting when A, who cares? Because there's lots of death and dying and suffering around the world. B, I couldn't go thrifting because COVID, you know, things were closed and it was very dangerous. And then when things started to reopen, just my mojo, my motivation was sort of missing. And it still seemed very trivial to talk about shopping and renovating and DIYing, and even though it's still an essential part of my life, just talking about things and having fun, just really wasn't on my mind. That's just not where I was at. So it took me a while to want to make a podcast and get back up here and talk about thrifting with you. Let's start with the thrift trip, shall we? I will tell you about my first big thrift trip post-pandemic with post-pandemic rules, I guess, because the pandemic's still going on. But the dressing rooms were open. I was vaccinated. And things were seeming just a little bit more accessible. And so I went to the beach, which would be Corpus Christi here in Texas, with a couple friends. And we had a great three-day vacation, like a long weekend, which we all needed because we'd been cooped up for a year, summer to summer for me. I wanted to spread my wings, not just on the beach, but I wanted a thrift trip. Of course, I didn't really feel like doing it with everybody I was traveling with for all the reasons that everybody talks about it. The five questions about the thrift life right at the end of the show. It's like, do you thrift alone or with friends? Alone, because you've got shit to do. I went to the bins, which I thought was an epic choice, but it turned out to be really great because it was fairly empty. There was less than 10 people there. It was just awesome to be able to have that much space to spread out and kind of work through my anxieties while I was shopping. I had such a good time. I found so much stuff. I just piled. And then, as I do, I found a corner to unpile and repile into smaller piles of things that I was going to buy. So I spent about $60 and I went back to the Airbnb and shared my loot with my fellow travelers, and they had a blast digging through all the things that I found, and they picked out some things for themselves, which was really, really fun because it got to not only thrift, but I also got to thrift gift, which is one of my favorites and doesn't happen often enough. I wish I did that more. Maybe I'll do that more. But that was a really great time. And then I decided, well, I'm going to go do some more thrifting the next day. And so I used my GPS to try to find some more places, but I got lost a lot because they're doing lots of construction in Corpus Christi. And I almost gave up, but I finally found another thrift store and it was really worth it. I got some really cute stuff and some home stuff that I really like this weird glass ball on this little gold stand that looks like some kind of witch's orb where I could see the future for $2. And it's some seashells, which some big ones, which I like to put on my bookshelves. So overall, a great thrift trip. But what was so good was that I just felt really energized, and I felt the way that I felt before the pandemic, even though I was wearing a mask and social distancing, just this effervescent joy of being able to thrift and then share my loot and feel really super excited about thrifting in the wild. I know you know that feeling, the thrill of the hunt, the excitement, the treasure hunting. It just felt so good to be back. And that's when I started thinking about bringing the podcast back. But it was a year of reflection for Cher. So let's talk a little bit about that. What were some of the things on your mind going through lockdown and coming out the other side? You might be wondering, why come back? Why do the podcast? And, you know, I've been asking myself that same question. I got a lot of what I wanted from the podcast before the pandemic hit. And had it not happened, the pandemic, I probably would have kept going and continue to build community and branch out and travel and meet people that I've met through the thrifting community. Life had other plans for me, I suppose. So I spent a lot of time regrouping and trying to figure out what that might be in relationship to the podcast. And the only good reason I could think of to come back was to be able to make a difference in some way in all the shit that's been going on here in the States during the past year. Thrifting at its core is about charity, sharing what you have with others, being sustainably minded, being conscious and aware of your fashion choices. It's about many things, but at its heart, it's about giving. And I feel like I have more to give. So as I reflected on what do I have to give? What do I have to give that I'm not already giving? What can I give more of? The idea of giving became central to organizing a return of the podcast. When I looked back over the past episodes, I noticed that I had some guests of color come on and that those episodes were very meaningful to me, but I could do better. I don't think that I was as diverse as I could have been, and I spent some time being regretful and wrestling with shame about that. So I think one of the things that I'm giving immediately is a correction on that, and I'm going to be amplifying voices of color. One of the things that I learned that's so important for colorful communities around the world is to be sought out and shopped from and respected and be heard and be integrated and not seen as homogenous groups. That there's so much variation within any group that if we pay attention and we join and we listen and we learn, we can understand that everybody has their own significant contribution to make. And so that's what really energized me to bring the show back. It's like, okay, I think I'm getting an idea here that this platform, this podcast, can be used to amplify and raise up entrepreneurs of color and make sure that their ideas get heard. And I'm so excited to do that. I'm feeling really renewed and a sense of purpose again. And at first, I wasn't sure how it was going to work, so I reached out to some of my fellow Instagrammers and got some feedback. And what I was told overwhelmingly was that the podcast is a great way to seek out Black entrepreneurs and support their shops, as things that they're producing and the content they're creating, and then all I need to do is show up and have them on. And I thought, well, okay. Let's do that. Let's make that happen. So I'm super proud to announce that I've recorded 6 episodes of Black thrifters and DIYers and resellers who are going to share their stories with you, their tips with you, their life with you on this podcast. And while we're doing it, we're going to be raising money for Black Lives Matter, which is just so great because we're getting back to the heart of thrifting, right? Which is giving and connecting through giving and creating community together and lifting each other up. So I'm glad to be back. I hope you're glad to be here. And all you have to do is what you were already doing, which is listen to the show, interact on the socials, share the show with your friends, and thrift and love it and be open to all the wild and wonderful connection that can happen in the thrift store. Kiana Michelle of Black Suit Thrift is going to be here. She's going to kick off the series and tell us about starting her community on Instagram to amplify Black thrifters and their voices and their style and how it's going, what she's learning. And she's going to share with us ways that we can be good allies and lift each other up. I'm super excited. I think you're going to really enjoy hearing her share stories about the space she's creating for Black entrepreneurs and especially women supporting women. And I love it. And then we're going to be talking with Brenda, who is a style influencer from Chicago. Brenda is known as She City Girl on Instagram, and she has rad style. I think if you go to work and you wear a blazer and you love loud colors and you like to hear inspiring tips from thoughtful women, you're going to love Brenda. If you don't already follow her on Instagram, I highly recommend going and doing that right now. And then I'm going to be talking with Derek. If you've been following my page for a while, you know that Derek and I, we were co-judges on a panel that for Thrift Conference. During the pandemic, we did all this virtually. We judged outfits put together by contestants in certain kinds of themes from items they got from a thrift store. It was super, super fun. So Derek is known as the Thrifted Gent on Instagram, and he's going to be here and talk to us about being a male thrifter, what that's like, and his rad style, which is, I would call him very dapper. And he gives us some great tips on how to get men more involved in thrifting and expressing themselves, which I think was a great conversation to have. I look forward to sharing that with you. And then I've got Tyler. Now, a lot of you know Tyler. She is a pretty well-known ethical blogger, and she goes by the name Thrifts and Tangles. She's here to talk about sustainability. She has a good tips for us to think about in terms of our consumption. Justin's going to be here. Now, Justin, we've talked before. Finale episode I did where it was called Men Who Thrift, and we had a panel of men on talking about thrifting. Justin was set to join us. He didn't get to make it, though. He had some technical issues at the last minute. So we circled back, and he's going to be on the show and talk to you about what he's been going through during the pandemic, how his style has changed, and reselling and cool things that only thrifters can really spend their life talking about. You're going to have a good time. He's really funny, too. He's got a good sense of humor. We'll be closing out the series with Shazan. She's the fashion mixologist, and you can find her on Instagram serving up some big looks. She is a fantastic DIYer. Now, what she does is upcycling, and she is going to give us tons of tips. As she would say, she's going to give us the skinny on that, because she has a podcast called The Skinny, which I was a guest on, and I hope you go listen to her show and follow her. And I will be dropping bios on all of these fabulous guests up on the website, thrifttherapypod.com, which is activated again, you guys. Woohoo! We're back. And we've got stuff to say. We've got stuff to talk about, right? I'm so happy. Yay! And I pledge that this podcast, as it continues for however long that may be, will be diverse. It will be interesting and eclectic. And if you want to be a guest on the show, or if you have ideas for the show, or if you have ideas for who to raise money for next, maybe that's what we'll do. We'll just turn this into a fundraising endeavor and talk about thrifting all the way to the bank so that we can help people who need help and create content that makes a difference. That'd be cool. Anyway, if you want to reach out to me, feel free to do so at thrifttherapypod@gmail.com. Get some feedback on the show, ideas for the show, or just tell me what your thrift life has been like during the pandemic. I'd love to hear about that too. It is being connected to people through the internet that made this whole experience tolerable for me. And honestly, it's still making it tolerable because we're not done here in Texas where I am. Things are not super great. I'm not opening up an office anytime soon until things feel more stable. So here I am. I'm at home, coming to you from my home to yours. And let's get our thrift talk on. In this episode, I am going to give you a bonus interview. This isn't just an announcement episode. Guess what? Norbaya is going to talk to us. about her amazing eclectic style. And she's coming to us all the way from Hong Kong. You guys, this was like quite a thing because we are in completely opposite time zones and we made this happen. Isn't that great? I'm so excited. Norbaya is known as IMA Norbaya, NORBYAH on Instagram. She's an avid thrifter, a vintage lover, and she wears mostly pre-loved clothes. She also teaches and she does volunteer work. She is a mother and she is an inspiration. Go follow her on Instagram and check out her style so you can get a sense of her while we're doing this interview after this word from our sponsors. Stay tuned. Clickety click, boopity boop. Hello, welcome to Thrift Therapy. I just told the listeners about you. We're very excited to chat with you. Welcome.
Hi, LaVie. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you today.
Norbaya, I know that you are in a different time zone than I am. Let's start with just a little bit of background about you. Tell everybody where you are and how you got into thrifting.
Okay. So I live in Hong Kong, so I am about 13 hours ahead of you. It's my Sunday morning. And I got into thrifting. I thrift mostly when I'm back visiting family in the summer in the U.S., but I got into thrifting probably in high school because I grew up in Malaysia, and Malaysia has lots of kind of open-air markets, they also had this store. The name cracks me up. This store was called The Reject Shop, and it was where brands, I guess, would, and I didn't even really understand it at the time, but brands would send their excess, you know, surplus clothing. And so you could go in there and find things that had like the label sort of half cut and stuff like that. And I used to do shopping there and shopping in like kind of open air markets in Malaysia where, you know, there was a lot of knockoff stuff. And I grew up in hand-me-downs. And so as the child of two teachers, they had things that were handed their way. You know, I'm the oldest of three girls, and so my sisters also grew up in my hand-me-downs, and it just was always how I shopped. So I guess it started there. And then when I moved away to university, I moved to Southern Illinois, I discovered their thrift shops. And as a student, I would donate my clothes or sell my clothes, have a little bit of money in my pocket, and then buy from the same store where I donated or sold my clothes. And so that, I guess you could say, is my real official introduction to thrifting. But also in the summer times, if I wasn't visiting the United States as a child, which wasn't that often because we weren't all living there then, I would go back to Australia to visit my mom's side of the family, and we would poke around into op shops there, which is what we call thrift shops in Australia.
Oh, okay. I was always saying OP shops. It's op shops. Will you tell me why it's called op shops?
I think it's short for opportunity. Op shops are short for opportunity shops.
That makes sense. It feels like an opportunity.
Yeah. I guess, you know, see what you find in there. What opportunities are there? They're also called, I know in the UK and Australia, they're also called charity shops.
Yes. Now, that I was pronouncing correctly. But yeah, I was always saying the OP shop, which probably is just like a throwback to growing up in the 70s and 80s. And there was a brand called Ocean Pacific, which they were pretty rad. But yeah, that's where I went. Oh, now I know. Op shop. Thank you for sharing that knowledge with me.
You're welcome.
So you're a global thrifter.
I am. I try to look for thrift shops or vintage shops or any kind of pre-loved shops wherever I am. And that makes it sound like I travel a lot. I don't really. But I have thrifted in Korea. And interestingly, I was actually there supervising a dance trip. And one evening I decided, you know, when the kids had all gone back to their homestays, I would look for some of the, you know, vintage or secondhand shops there. And interestingly, I was in a train station and they had this massive thrift shop in a train station and it was amazing. So, you know, I do that. And then when I'm back in the States or in Australia, I go thrift shopping. Other places that I've traveled, not so much. I mean, years and years ago when we first moved overseas, we took the family to Paris. And now, had I known what I do now, and I thrift more now than I did back then, because I had young children. And so if I could go back, I would definitely love to explore, like, you know, the markets and flea markets and secondhand shops in Paris and in France. But I didn't back then.
Can we, like, go back to thrift shop in train station? Because I feel like you're not really giving me the moment I need to salivate and get excited. And it's sort of like a dream come true. If only there were also a bar in it.
Yes.
And maybe like a place to dance. I feel like it would be the best place in the world.
Yeah. So, you know, Korea, like Seoul is huge. So I had to kind of do a bit of research beforehand. And the gentleman who went with me as kind of a co-chaperone, he was game for any adventure. And so he's like, all right, Nirbhaya, let's go. Let's find these places. And I had looked on YouTube and done a bit of just Googling. And because I didn't want, I knew I could find probably some really gorgeous vintage, but I didn't want to look for vintage per se, you know, in a curated boutique, because then I knew I was going to pay through the nose. But I wanted a thrift experience. And so I stumbled onto a YouTube channel. I think it was like a husband and wife team. I can't even remember. This is years ago now. And they were just sharing some of their adventures thrifting, living in Seoul. And they mentioned a chain similar to like Salvation Army or something like that, where, you know, you're going to find multiple. And mentioned that there were some in a couple of the train stations and the subway stations in Seoul. And so I mapped one out and we ventured out there and boom. I mean, it was big and it was surprisingly busy. It was winter at the time. So, you know, I was looking at amazing blazers and things like that. And I didn't have much time. So I really just kind of wanted to explore and see what I could find. I remember picking up a corduroy skirt and a really cool kind of velvet blazer that was like a gentleman's blazer. So kind of, it had broad shoulders. It was too big for me, which was perfect. And it had the embroidery of a gentleman, like a Japanese gentleman's name in the inside lining. It was beautiful. And I don't remember what I paid for it, but it was just fun to experience something different,
in
a different country. So yeah, it was remarkable that it was in a subway station.
It just sounds so cool. I have dreams like that where I'm walking along a riverbank. And this is a reoccurring dream. I know people hate to listen to dreams, but hold on. You're going to want to hear this one because there's thrifting involved. And I'm on some pilgrimage and I'm hungry. And there's like a flea market with some hot dogs and some vendors. But then someone comes around from behind the hot dog stand usually, whatever it is, from somewhere, and says, come look at the shoes. And I go into this hidden place and there's just floor to ceiling shoes and they're all like cheap and used and glorious. And always before I can pick out shoes that I get to keep, I wake up. So I feel like this train station thing is something I can integrate into that dream.
Oh yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Do you ever have thrifting dreams?
I haven't had any recently. No, that's sad.
That is sad.
Although I feel like it's because the dreams that I have are just my daydreams, I suppose, because I miss thrifting in places like Australia and America, where the thrift shops have a wider variety of things. and we can talk about this because I know it was one of your questions, but you know, when I'm thrifting here, I'm really primarily thrifting clothing, but I miss those op shops in Australia and the thrift shops in the States where, you know, you can wander over into housewares and find really cool glasses and some cool furniture and all sorts of things that, you know, if you have a little bit of imagination, you can find gems. So yeah, I guess if I have any thrift dreams, it's those daydreams of wanting to go back to a full-on thrift shop and not just the clothing.
I can appreciate that. I feel like, so one of my favorite places to go is a place that the most expensive day is $2.25 and the cheapest day is 25 cents, but everything's one price. But they only have clothing. And so while it is just the most fun to dig through piles of clothes and, you know, pay 25 cents for everything, it, you know, I wish there was a place where I could get housewares like that, because I really love thrifting home decor. Where I was today before we got, like 10 minutes before we got on this call, was at one of my Honey Pot thrift stores, and I spent $160. And I would say about 70% of that was on art and like pictures, framed things. And it's just, it just makes my heart sing when I can find cool art like that.
Yeah.
We were talking about the thrift culture where you live and how different it is from here. So what I'm thinking about now is that you do this, I guess it's a hashtag challenge on Instagram where you get people to participate in, it's kind of a, what would you call it? It's like an online fashion show where people put together their own outfits. It's called Trends in Your Closet. And I'm thinking, because of what you're saying, where you're thrifting for clothes so much, I'm kind of wanting you to tell me the story of how you created that hashtag. You know, what made you want to see other people's interpretations of current runway looks? Dig in and tell us a little bit about that thing you're doing over on Instagram.
Sure. So it actually was born about a year and a half ago, maybe. We did our very first Trends in Your Closet style challenge in spring of last year, spring of 2020. I had connected with Anna on Instagram, as I have so many people in the last year and a half. It's been a real gift in this time of feeling socially isolated and distant from the world. And we were chatting, you know, of course, connected over our love of thrifting and thrifted fashion. But she and I both are very aware of overconsumption and the kind of the sustainability aspect. I do a lot of work with a local organization, a local NGO here called Redress. Mm-hmm. And I love to support the work that they do because they host pre-loved pop-up shops. They do a lot of education around textile waste and the environmental crisis that textile waste and the fashion industry has created. And they host the biggest like eco fashion show in the world. I mean, they invite designers from all around the world to put together collection, and then they award prizes. And they even have a fashion line of their own where the winner of that fashion show, that annual fashion show, gets to create a collection. And the stipulation is that they have to use sustainable design techniques to create their collection, both for the show and then when they create their line with this clothing line. So I'm keenly aware of the environmental aspect of things. I do work around school. I'm a school teacher, kind of raising kids' awareness of their consumption of plastic and other things. And so it's all sort of part and parcel of the same thing. And so Anna and I were just really aware of overconsumption. I mean, and even in the thrift world, you have overconsumption. And it's so fashion, whether it is pre-loved or new, you know, if you don't address that consumption issue, then nothing changes. So we were really wanting to get people to rethink that, how they consume fashion, and really thinking about the fact that, you know, trends are cyclical. You know, how many of us put outfits together or draw from decades past? You know, if you love vintage, of course, you know that vintage, that fashion is cyclical, and trends are cyclical. So we thought, why not encourage people to look at their clothes differently, envision trends that we see popping up on runways, and go in and look to see what you have that might be interpreted in such a way. You know, it doesn't have to be a dead-on match. And no one wants that, you know, and anyone who's got some style or can style things knows that you don't want it to be the dead-on match. You just want to make it yours and style it in your way and see that, oh yeah, you know, okay, so that's not exactly the shade of green that's trending right now on the runway, but it's pretty close. And if I pair it with this or that or whatever, I've got something that looks on trend. So we wanted people to think creatively about what they already have and then style looks and then connect with other really stylish people. And so that's what we created a year and a half ago, and it's just exploded. It's so fun. And I know I look forward to each season when Anna and I begin connecting and planning the challenge week. It's so fun to see how some of the trends from the beginning when we started this have stayed, how they've morphed. And then you really do get to see, yeah, the trends we already have. So let's just hang on to the things that we have and style them up.
Right. So it's not like trends that you just bought. It's trends that you are, like trends that are current that you can go into your closet and source the look for, right? Like I'm going in here, I'm getting something I already have, and I'm going to repurpose it into this new vibe.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I remember about a year ago, there was the trend was sort of the tiered look, you know, layers and layers of like a skirt that had the tiers. And, you know, okay, maybe you don't have a skirt exactly like that, but if you layer a couple of skirts, you got that look. So it's also about being creative with your clothing. And, you know, maybe upcycling or DIYing is not your thing, but you can still, the way you put an outfit together, when you're thinking about that trend, you can be creative about how you can use what you have to create it in what you already have. So I've really enjoyed that aspect of it as well, too. I feel like I've gone into my wardrobe and thought, I've never worn this thing that way, but I wonder what would happen if I did. And I've had things that haven't worked, and then lots of happy accidents where I'm like, wow, I love this. And then, you know, you discover even a different way that you can wear something that you have. And then, you know, that sort of meets that goal of getting more use and more wears from your clothing.
Yes, amen. And I will tell you, I remember that particular season of the trends in your closet, which is one of my favorite hashtags, by the way. That one and Thrift the Runway. I will say also that I think I am pretty good at that shit. That's probably why I like it. But I love that tiered skirt thing. So I wore 3 skirts that day. I wore 3 silk Indian wrap skirts. Do you know the ones? You see them at thrift stores all the time, right? They've got like 2 layers of prints. They wrap all the way around. Yeah, I have a lot of those. Well, I wore 3 of them. I wore one as a top, one as a skirt, and one was longer, so I wore 2 as skirts.
Yeah.
So one shorter, one's longer. So there was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 layers.
Yeah, amazing.
And I would have never done it that way had it not been for that hashtag. So I do think it's motivating to go in your closet, take what you have, and wear it a totally new way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I know I've done so much more of that, you know, now that that's sort of like my mindset as I go in looking for something, you know, I'm not just wearing a shirt as a shirt or whatever. So, yeah, I am so glad that you love the hashtag, and I do find so much inspiration from what other people share using that hashtag as well. So
super fun. I hope that a lot more listeners will get on that train and check the show notes. If you are not on Instagram, you know, sorry, you can't play, but it's a good reason to get on Instagram is that it really does motivate you to, if you're in the right communities and you're going in these positive directions, it can give you a lot of new ideas to work with. You can make new friends, as you were saying earlier. And I think it can just be like a really good way to stay up to date on what creative people are thinking about and maybe make you think about things a little bit differently too. So I'm really glad that you guys are doing that. And I'll also put an app for Anna as well, which I think she's Anazon on the old Instagram. So I'll put all that in the show notes. Mm-hmm. Now, let's turn to your other Instagram effort.
Great.
Which is your IGTV series, which I guess could be called Show Me Your Closet.
Yes.
And why don't you walk us through what you're doing there? How is it the same or different? Give us the skinny on what we could expect from that IGTV series.
So that came out of a conversation. I don't remember who I was chatting with. It might have even been Anna. And, you know, when we started doing the trends in your closets and seeing all of these people sharing their looks, there were some people that I remember just thinking to myself, like, I want to see what her clothes look. I mean, her looks are so amazing and the pieces that she puts together and all that sort of stuff. I was like, I wish I could just like go in and see what she has, you know. And I love, one of the things I do love to watch when people do this on their own channels is like, oh, here, you know, let me give you a closet tour of my closet. But, you know, not everyone feels comfortable doing that on their own. And I was like, well, I wonder if like I asked somebody to invite me in and I helped them sort of frame what I want to see and what I'd like them to talk about, then I could kind of host a tour of their closet and kind of get in there and take a peek. And so my very first episode was Joy of Joyous Closet, because holy crap, that woman has amazing pieces, you know. And I think we were chatting one time and she's like, I really should do a closet tour. I just don't really know how to do one. I'm not really on IGTV, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, how about I help you? And yeah, so that's sort of where that idea came from. And so I usually have them kind of show us kind of a pan through everything that they have in their closet or in their closet room. I'm so jealous of people who have closet rooms. Hong Kong just does not have the space. But then show us how you curate your closet. You know, what do you decide to bring in? How do you decide to pass along a piece? You know, do you donate it? Do you sell it? What are you looking for when you thrift? And so it turned into that. And she was such a wonderful, like, guinea pig to get me started, because she was so game, and invited us into her downstairs basement closet room. And oh my gosh, it was so great. And so I've done a couple of those episodes. I've got a couple, on deck that I am, hoping to film and release soon. But I love that. And yeah, it kind of gets at that same value of seeing value in the clothes that we have in our collections, you know. And I love when I see people who do curate mm-hmm. their closets mm-hmm. in such a way where, you know, it's almost like you're going into your own little shop and looking for things in your own little shop of things that you already have. And seeing value in that, because I really feel like what fast fashion has done is had people, you know, has people devalue their clothes, if that makes sense. Like they come by them so inexpensively and they're poorly made and a button falls off or something rips because it's poorly made and then it gets discarded. And, you know, if you care for your clothes and you curate them in such a way, then hopefully that connection with your clothing means that you'll take care of it and wear it longer. I took my daughter this week. We volunteered with Redress, that organization I was telling you about, and we did a clothing sort mm-hmm, of all mm-hmm. of the donated clothing from around Hong Kong. And it was overwhelming how much there was. And how, you know, we sorted them into different categories. Some things could be sorted into resale, which then that organization uses to fund the work that they do. And then, you know, you send some things to charity because, you know, know. And then there are things mm-hmm. that need to be recycled, and they connect with an organization here that actually recycles clothing. And then as a last resort, you send something to landfill, things that absolutely cannot be donated and used elsewhere. So and so the things that go to recycle before they even go to landfill are the soiled things, the damaged things. And it was overwhelming to me how many things I had to put in that pile that were easy fixes. Like the hem came apart and it just needed a little bit of a running stitch to fix. A button needed to be repaired, or, you know, a stain that was easy to work out, or could have, like, here's the thing. There was a wonderful little t-shirt, and I knew it came from a good brand. It wasn't one I recognized, but the quality felt good. And it had a little oil stain, and it was below the waist. And I thought, in my head, I would have cropped that and put a new hem on it, and it would have had value beyond that. And instead, you know, that person just tossed it in the bin, you know, to donate and get rid of. So that was overwhelming. And what else was overwhelming was how much fast fashion was donated. And some things with tags still on.
Tags still on, yeah. I've seen that a lot.
Tags still on.
Tags still on, which is a fun find at a thrift store, but it also speaks to, you know, that people are buying things unthoughtfully. Not, you know, maybe that's judgmental. Maybe there are circumstances that, you know, we're just not aware of. Maybe they gained or lost weight, or they died. I mean, we don't know. But you know, it is concerning when the, you know, the statistics are out there to show us that even if that's true for that one garment I picked up, that there's such an overwhelming consumer issue. And I think when I was coming up back in the 80s is when I started thrifting, probably in 80, maybe 84, 85, something like that. And so I've been thrifting a long time, and in my closet I have things that I've had for a really long time. I would have more if I hadn't gained so much weight over the years. But, you know, my body's just changed. But I would have kept everything, I think, that was vintage already. I sew as well. It sounds like you do too. I think that's part of the issue is that, sure, I don't think we should make, especially females, take home ec and sewing in school. But I do think we should make people take it. You know, I think we should still have those classes because those are dying skills. They're skill. My husband doesn't even know how to sew a button on. Like, that's just, to me, that's just like driving a car and not knowing, you know, how to put gas in it. It's just, that just doesn't make sense to me. So I hear what you're saying. I think we both have that same idea. I like that as well.
I completely agree with you. And I don't know how to use a sewing machine. You know, I don't have that level of sewing like some of the women on Instagram, or some of the people on Instagram that I've connected with, Kati, for example, who kind of takes a garment she's thrifted and re-envisions it. I love what she does. But I don't have that skill, but I do have the care for your clothing skill. And I completely agree with you. Like it needs to be a one of those life skills that we teach everyone. I taught my son how to sew. And he sewed, we went and thrifted pieces, and he sewed his Halloween costume last year. All himself. That's something I'm quite proud of, that he knows how to do that. And he's going away to university in a couple of weeks. And, you know, I remember when my mother sent me away to university, she put together a sewing kit for me. Bought like a kind of a hard plastic pencil case and filled it with needles and threads of different kind, little scissors and unpicker or whatever. And that's what I plan to do for him, you know, is send him off to university with a little sewing kit, among other things. Because he knows how to sew, and if he's got holes in his socks, which he often does, or a little hole here or there, he knows how to fix it. But yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. That's a skill that everyone should have. And if you have it, then you see something and think, oh, I can fix that, rather than just toss it.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, we do. My son came home recently from college. He went last year during the pandemic, and he brought some tennis shoes with him to repair. You know, like we repair shoes here. I have a shoe kit where we glue them, we polish them, we change laces. It's just a craftsman kind of idea, I think. I just recently decided to get back into sewing through the pandemic. It was something that kind of I had put aside, I guess. First of all, it's stressful. Sewing is stressful to me. Ripping out seams and changing needles and bobbins and thread, just the whole thing is such a headache. But, you know, if I'm not doing other things, it's enjoyable. So during the pandemic, I brought my sewing machine out again and also just did a lot of hand work. And I'm having a good time with that. Right now I'm buying curtains to make dresses out of. I feel like I want to make some dresses. So stay tuned for that. I'll try to share some of those on the Instagram as well.
Amazing. That reminds me of The Sound of Music, how Maria takes the curtains that the Von Trapp family get rid of and makes them into outfits for those kids.
100%. So since we're talking about style and sustainability and just sort of sharing our interest in creating unique looks as well, which it seems to be such a big part of the thrifting community, I was wondering if you'd just tell us a little bit about your aesthetic, because I find it interesting and unique, and I have words floating around in my head like casual, juxtaposed, funky. I'm not really sure. How would you describe your aesthetic?
Yeah, you know, so interesting because I was asked that by Sarah. You know, I was on her Thrifter Thursday series, and I'm like, I don't know, how would I describe my aesthetic? Because it's changed. It used to be much more vintagey, like vintage inspired, you know, decades ago kind of vibe, and a little bit more dressed up because I had much more vintage stuff rather than just the thrifted pieces in my wardrobe. But that's shifted, and I'm always trying to find ways to feel more casual because I feel like people say, well, you're so dressed up. But yeah, funky, definitely. I mean, so when I was doing that series with Sarah, I asked my girlfriends, how would you describe my style? And my friend Sabrina was like, she wrote this thing that's just perfect. She's like, you see pieces with lots of print and color, throw them together with this zero fucks given vibe. Just like, I am going to wear what I want to wear. Cause I swore there. I don't know if you want me to swear or not, but zero F's given.
No, it's just totally fine.
Okay. And it, you know, I spent so much of my youth worried about what other people thought about me. And I feel like, you know, arriving in my 30s and 40s, I'm like, you know what, whatever, I want to wear this. And so I'm going to wear it, and I'm going to wear it with tennis shoes, you know? So I'll put like a skirt look together with like a boxy blazer and some funky headscarf, and then walk out the door with my tennis shoes on. And so, yeah, eclectic kind of, you know, owning what I want to wear because that's who I want to be. And I feel like that is partially translated in how I teach as well, you know, is I'm always looking for ways for kids to find their voice. And the kids I teach, you know, these teenagers are hung up on what they feel like colleges want them to say or what their parents want them or friends want them to be. And I'm like, just you be yourself, be yourself. So yeah, I, you know, if I walk through school and my outfit makes someone smile or stop and look, and I often get compliments with people saying, I just love what you put together today. And if that makes someone smile, then they made, right? But mostly I dress for myself. So if I walked out the door and I smiled, that's all I need.
I love that. Those are my two arm tattoos. On one side, it says, fuck politeness. Mm. And on the other side, it says, be yourself. So, we're in sync.
Yes, for sure. Be yourself. Who gives a fuck what other people think?
Well, I hope that inspired some of the young thrifters out there. I do know sometimes, you know, when you're trying out funky shit in the thrift store and people are give you weird looks or you just, I don't know, you have to work that stuff out. You have to just spend the years working through all the ways that people like to measure female presence. And you just have to get over it because fuck it. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Your body belongs to you. Your style belongs to you. Do
what you want. Absolutely. And, you know, ultimately you're getting dressed for yourself. So Yeah. Say what you want to, you know, roll your eyes, but whatever. I'm happy wearing what I want to wear.
Woot woot. So we are going to get into the thrift IQ questions. I do these at the end of every episode so that we can sort of see how thrifters are across the episodes.
Great.
Are you ready?
I am.
How often?
Maybe... Well, because of opportunities here, not as often as I'd like, but if maybe once a month, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
One project at a time, or do you have many projects going on?
Many. I'm horrible at saying no. Many.
Oh, it's such a journey to those boundaries. Oh, they're so hard.
Yeah. I think partly because I'm a mom, partly because I'm a teacher, I'm always have too many things going on at once. Yeah.
Do you believe in thrift gods?
Sort of. I don't pray to the thrift gods before I go in, but, you know, I just feel like sometimes the stars align.
I know. It's so weird. Like, today was kind of a rough day. Nothing was working right. Like, everything was just a disaster from one thing to the next. Not connected stuff. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going thrifting. And it was like magic land. Like, it was like, oh, look, here's this thing you've been looking for forever. Oh, look, here, this is perfect for you. So, yeah, I don't know. Thrifting alone or with others?
Alone. Alone, for sure. Although my daughter sometimes comes with me, and that's great.
Family thrifts, those are fun. Best or worst thrift story?
I remember going into a Salvation Army and seeing that in their back room, they were getting ready to put out some fur coats, vintage fur coats, but it was August and there was no way they were putting them out now. And I asked the store manager and she said, make me an offer. I did. I got two, walked out of there spending, I think, $25 for two vintage fur coats. Yeah. And then the most amazing thing was that one of them, they had the name embroidered on the inside. And I chased down the story of these women. They were sisters living in the community and uncovered, you know, that there used to be a furrier on Main Street of one of the towns nearby. And the grandson and then son got a hold of me. And I got a whole, like, family history out of it. It was incredible.
That is so inspiring. And I feel like furs work their way into a lot of best thrift stories. Furs and furniture are like a big fucking deal in the thrift stories.
Definitely.
Well, high fives. I mean, it's a great story. It's a great chat we've had. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been so much fun to get to know you a little bit better, too. I'm really glad we connected on Instagram.
Yeah, thank you so much, Livy. I always enjoy speaking about this stuff because it forces me to collect my thoughts and think about what my goal and purpose is. So appreciate you having me on.
Oh, yeah. Fun times. So I'm going to let you go and I'll see you online. Take care of yourself.
Okay. See ya.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Thrift Therapy. I will see you here again in 2 weeks and we will talk more thrifting. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Tell a friend. And as always, stay thrifty. This podcast was created using Audacity. Original score created by Cody Crabb. Produced by Begin Anywhere, LLC.